Hello, everyone. You are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon, and today we continue our three-day travel article. And in the studio with me, I have Josh and Charlotte. Welcome, panelists.
Hello.
Hello, Brandon.
What have we been discussing the past couple of days, Charlotte? Let's take it one day at a time, actually. What did we discuss yesterday?
Yesterday, we were talking about traveling with or without devices and what's the best way to pack, care for, and insure those devices to make sure you have a safe trip and that your things all get back in one piece.
All right. That's a great summary of yesterday. Thanks, Charlotte. Also, Josh is back with us. What did we talk about on the first day?
Well, Brandon, the first day we talked about the problem of over-tourism that recently, that for a couple of reasons, that tourism has really boomed, meaning that there are a lot of tourists going to popular destinations, and that makes it really difficult because it's overcrowded.
Yeah, and that can be an issue. And you can maybe think of going during the off-peak times when it's not as crowded, hopefully, and don't go during those peak seasons. Well, today we're talking about wringing the most from vacation travel dollars. What do we mean, Charlotte, when we're talking about wringing the most from?
Well, when I see this word wring, I think about a washcloth that's full of water, and when I want to dry it, I'm going to twist and squeeze it to get every last drop out.
Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to make the most of our money here. Okay, so we're taking a trip, but we don't want to spend too much money. So what do you do, panelists? Josh, if you're planning a trip and you want to go kind of on the cheap, what are some things that you do?
Well, for me, I usually start with the planning phase. So a lot of times, the destinations that I choose will be destinations that kind of like hit the perfect mix of the time that's available and the time that's like busy versus off season and the time of week that I can fly. So usually I'll start with trying to find times to go to areas where the flights and the hotels tend to be a little bit cheaper at that time of year.
Yeah. There are many things you can do, actually. You know, something I've tried to do is with my credit card, I get points, and so I can use those toward a flight, and so that's really helpful. That's one way. You know, or you can try to go, as we talked about, at a time that's not as busy, but it really takes a lot of planning. If you wait till the last minute, you're not as likely to save money, right? Charlotte, what do you do?
So I told you guys on the first day that I'm a planner, but when it comes to budgeting, I'm not as much of a planner in that sense. So usually I will have my flight and my hotel taken care of, but when I'm in country, maybe I just have a lump sum of money that is going to cover food and shopping and those kinds of things. And so one way that I like to save money on food is maybe trying to find a local supermarket if I'm staying for a few days and buying a few things that I can eat as snacks or even as breakfast or as a light dinner instead of eating out at a restaurant every time.
All right. That's a good point. Yeah, when it comes to food, I don't do very well with budgeting because I love to eat. So if I see something I want, especially when you're traveling, right, you think, oh, I'm on vacation, so it's okay to spend more money. Maybe it is, but we just still have to budget that out and maybe save in another area. It just really depends on the person. So anyway, we are wringing the most from vacation travel dollars. That is today's topic. So if you have your magazine, go ahead and open it up to page 20, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Wring the most from vacation travel dollars. After setting a budget, squeeze the most out of it by shopping around for the best offers. AAA and websites like Travelocity and Orbitz offer vacation packages including airfare, lodging, and a rental car for savings of 25% or more, says Karen Hoxmeyer, founder of MyBargainBuddy.com. Flying midweek can save hundreds, and many tourist attractions charge less in the middle of the week. Visiting a destination during its off-season is significantly cheaper, but do research to decide whether you can tolerate off-season conditions. Many shops and restaurants might be closed, or the weather could be nasty.
All All right, we have that word budget there, and sometimes when I hear that, I kind of cringe. Oh no, a budget, which is actually good to have a budget, but you think, oh, I need to have a budget. And you can be kind of, you don't want to anticipate that. You're kind of anxious about that. But we need to set a budget, and then we need to squeeze the most out of it. We just talked about wringing the most from vacation dollars, Charlotte. This is kind of the same meaning, right?
Right. Squeeze also just means to press, try to get the most, we could say the most bang for your buck, as much as you can out of the money that you do have available.
For some reason, we have a lot of idioms when it comes to money. I wonder why. Well, we shop around for the best offers. And one thing I kind of enjoy doing once I get into it is searching for flights. It's kind of a game, right? To see if I can find the cheapest flight. And so that's one way that you can maybe save some money is by, finding a cheaper flight. And there's some suggestions here, different websites you can go to. And there's also something in the United States called AAA. What is that, Josh?
It's the American Automobile Association. So it's an association that also offers automobile insurance, as well as a lot of travel discounts and incentives for all sorts of different things, not even dealing with automobiles, so like hotels and flights being one of them.
Okay, and then there are websites like Travelocity and Orbitz, Expedia, and so forth. They offer vacation packages and includes airfare, lodging, and a rental car. So they just group everything together and makes it easier on people.
That's right. A lot of hotels might partner together with these websites too, because they want to attract more customers. So if they can offer a lower price with this car company or with this airline, that would be great.
And a lot of people use those websites, right? And it says here that you can save maybe up to 25% or even more. This is according to the founder there at mybargainbuddy.com. I went to this website, and this was a lady. She was, I believe, a housewife, a stay-at-home mom. And she started this back in 1999, and she was just telling people the bargains that she found, and it has become really successful. So you can go into the site, and she'll have different things on there that where you can save money, and you click on that, and it takes you to another site, anything from food to, you know, stuff for your pets. And so that has become really successful. And so I think she's kind of a source that people go to for information and so forth. Well, one way that you can save with flying is not to fly on the weekends, right?
Right. I almost always fly on a Tuesday or Thursday just because the airfare tends to be cheaper flying on those days. And if my time is flexible, like on vacation, then why not?
Right. Might as well save some money. So flying midweek can save hundreds of dollars, according to this article. And many tourist attractions charge less in the middle of the week, right? Of course, if you go on the weekend, it's likely to be more expensive.
Sure, and I think a lot of people know that, you know, if you are taking a holiday which includes a weekend, that means a couple of vacation days that you don't have to take, or it means that you're not losing as much income from your job. But sometimes I've found that if I leave midweek or leave a little bit earlier than I expected, a lot of times the amount of money that I save on the flight is worth more than the amount of money that I would have made had I worked that day. So it's math, you know.
Right.
You have to figure out what works out best for you.
Yeah, and there are budget airlines that you can take. There are red-eye flights, we call, that maybe leave at midnight, and those are tend to be cheaper. But you have to pay the price. The next day you're going to be pretty tired. You know, that's probably for a shorter trip that you could maybe take one of those. Well, you can also, as we've talked about, visit a destination during its off-season. Just remind us again, Charlotte, of what that means.
Right. Well, the time of year where the most people are visiting a place is called the peak season, because that's where the highest number of tourists will be. So the off-season might be a time where there are no school holidays, for example, or maybe a time where it's the rainy or cold season in a place and it's not as pleasant to visit.
That's why they say next, can you tolerate that? Can you tolerate off-season conditions? You know, if it's winter time and you don't want to go out in the cold, it's not worth it, right?
Right, you don't want to plan your beach vacation when it's going to be too cold to swim in the ocean.
That's right, unless you just want to be in that environment. It is much cheaper during the winter time, but you don't get as many of the benefits because you can't go swimming.
It's true, and there are some other things to think of here, too, that they say that many shops and restaurants might be closed Mm-hmm. There's also a good possibility that if you're depending upon public transportation to get around, that buses and other public transportation may not leave as often or may not actually go to the destinations that you want to go because they don't offer as much during the off-season. So maybe you might have to increase the cost a little bit by renting a car. But if you're planning on renting a car anyway, then it could be a very good option for you.
So maybe find that happy medium. Mm-hmm. Maybe go in the fall, and it's not as cheap as the winter, but you still save some money. That's what I would choose to do. It's maybe still warm enough and a little bit cheaper if you're able to do that. So there are many different options. Well, that's a bit of an introduction to our article. Next, we're going to talk about the attractions on your agenda and doing an online search and so forth. So let's find out about that in our next reading.
For each attraction on your agenda, do an online search along with the word coupon, and you're likely to find discounts. Using public transportation instead of renting a car saves money and gives you a more authentic feel for the city. If you do rent a car, avoid doing so at the airport. Instead, reserve a car in advance at a rental car location a few miles away and take a cab from the airport, Hawksmeyer says. Some thrifty travelers partake heartily of a hotel's continental breakfast and then get by on inexpensive snacks until dinner time. But in a city known for its fine dining, you're wise to eat out at lunchtime for your big meal of the day, Hawksmeyer says. Lunch menus are cheaper, so you can sample phenomenal food for a fraction of the cost.
All right, well, it's time to do an online search for each attraction on your agenda. So you have a plan for your trip. Well, break it down, go online, and type one word in. What is that word, Charlotte?
That word is coupon. And in the reading, you might have heard it read as coupon. And I wanted to let you guys know that both of those pronunciations are very common and very acceptable.
But it's like data, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so type that word in, coupon, and you're likely to find discounts. And that's a simple tip, Josh, but not one that I had thought of.
I have to admit, I'm a little bit not as inclined to look for those kind of discounts. So usually my focus is on flights and hotels and rental arrangements. But when it comes to attractions on the agenda, I forget that it's quite possible in order to find discounted prices on tickets to enter into the things that you would like to go to and see while you are visiting someplace.
I don't normally think of that either. I'm normally concerned about just getting there and the hotels, but I don't get down to the nitty-gritty, right, the details.
Yeah. Well, there's a website called Groupon where if you buy a large number of tickets or products together, you might have a discount, and so you can combine with other strangers who are buying the same thing, and that might be another way to save money.
Yeah, I used Groupon once because I get emails, and I used this when I went back to the U.S., and I got one for, like, a cookie cake. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but these giant cookies that are made into a cake, and it was really, really cheap for what I got. I got, like, two discounts on it, and I was like, this is awesome. So you never know those kind of deals that you're going to run up on, those services that comes in your inbox. You can try those out and maybe save some money along the way. Well, using public transportation instead of renting a car saves money, and, of course, we know that, but I have to say, I really enjoy renting cars. They can be expensive, but sometimes they're fun to do that. Do you ever rent cars, Charlotte?
Well, I actually don't drive, so I'm kind of limited to public transportation. And I do enjoy the way that I can kind of get an idea of the layout of the city by looking at maybe a subway map. But renting a car gives you a lot more options of where you can visit. And
yes,
I'll probably end up taking a taxi at some point, so renting a car would save me money.
Yeah, so it all depends on what you want to do. Do you usually take public transportation when you are traveling in other countries, or do you rent a car?
It depends on the trip. So a lot of times what will happen for us, though, is that we will make out a plan or an itinerary that involves a lot of public transportation. Mm. But then if there are areas or destinations that's difficult to get to, or it looks like it's going to be an expensive taxi ride, then maybe we'll try and rent the car for the day or a day or two. So it's not the entire time, but a time where it would really work out well for just that destination or that time period.
All right. Well, if you do rent a car, you need to avoid renting one at the airport. And this is kind of common sense. A lot of things at the airport are going to be more expensive, right?
Exactly. So if you can do a little bit of homework and reserve a car in advance, most rental places will offer a shuttle or airport pickup to their location so mm-hmm. that you can get their car.
And also, if you're exchanging money, I don't know if you want to do that at the airport. I think that's probably not a good idea either. Do that before you go, if possible. Maybe you'll save a little on the exchange fees. So reserve a car in advance at a rental car location a few miles away, and then you just take a cab from the airport. So that's a good tip. And what if you're a thrifty traveler? Well, that means you want to, be careful with how you spend your money on food as well. What is a thrifty traveler, Charlotte?
Someone who is thrifty is someone who tries to save money, tries not to waste money on things that are unnecessary.
So a thrifty traveler will partake heartily of a hotel's continental breakfast. If you partake in something, that means you are involved in that, and oftentimes we can use that with food or drink. And then we have that word heartily, Josh.
So heartily just means so with a lot of heart, so enthusiastically or a lot of in this case.
Okay, so you can partake heartily of a hotel's continental breakfast. Continental breakfast, why do they call it that? What is that actually?
Well, it's usually a kind of cold buffet type breakfast where there might be things like bread, fruit, coffee, and tea, but probably not a lot of hot or freshly cooked options.
Yes, really simple.
So I think in the past, in England, they referred to anything that was on the continent as continental, that being things in Europe. And in many places in England, breakfast is big and heavy and hot, especially like an Irish breakfast. Where a continental breakfast would be, like Charlotte said, cold. So like a pastry with maybe a coffee or a juice or a fruit.
Wow. I love breakfast. I can eat that any meal of the day. French toast, pancakes. But even a continental breakfast, it's simple, but I like it. You stay in a hotel, you get up, and it's just right there. You can eat that, and it's free. I mean, I'm sure you're paying for it somehow or the other, but you don't have to pay anything extra for it.
And this is one of the things that I try and do when I travel. If I'm choosing a hotel and for about the same price, one offers breakfast included and one does not, I will always go for the breakfast included just because I know that it's an easy, quick option in the morning to grab some food and be about my way. And if the breakfast is any good, usually I can eat enough in order to last me for quite some time.
Yeah, and it's convenient. And it's kind of fun. It's like, oh, I have this breakfast included. I don't have to make it myself, and I love that option. And so thrifty travelers, they look for that, the continental breakfast. And then they try to get by on inexpensive snacks. What do they mean here by get by on?
Get by kind of means to survive, to do the bare minimum, to do just enough. And here I think it's talking about not eating too much during the day, maybe just having a few snacks until your big dinner. So you have a huge breakfast and then just eat a little bit throughout the day and then have a nice big dinner.
Now, this is hard for me. I like to eat 3 square meals a day. Like I like to eat at breakfast, lunchtime, and dinner time. I'm kind of like a baby when it comes to that. I like to eat on schedule. And so this would be a little difficult. But if you're looking forward to a really nice meal that's going to be more expensive, it makes sense that you would do this.
And one of the things that we will do is we will either, like Charlotte said before, look for a supermarket in order to buy inexpensive snacks, or we will also take some snacks with us when we pack. So for us, we can get a really good deal on some granola bars at Costco. So we'll make sure we pack a little bag of that. So then on days where we really want to do a lot of moving around, a lot of adventure, but not spend a lot of time and effort on one of the meals, and we'll have those with us to use.
All right, that's a great idea. But what if you're in a city known for its fine dining? What should you do?
Right. Well, one of the highlights of traveling for me is certainly sampling foods from different places. And a lot of countries have certain featured meals or featured foods. And I think this is a really great tip because I tend to prefer to eat my biggest meal earlier in the day anyways, not right before bed. So I can also save money by eating out for lunch at some of those famous restaurants.
Yeah, because oftentimes lunch menus are cheaper. Maybe you can eat the same thing that you would at dinner time. And you eat that at lunch, you pay less. And so this is a really good tip. And you can maybe sample some phenomenal foods, right?
Right. So phenomenal food here is something that's really just amazing and fantastic. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll be surprised by phenomenal foods. But it is a good tip, especially if you're traveling in the United States, because there are many, many excellent restaurants in the United States which will offer maybe a slightly reduced menu and don't have as many things available, but they're the same things they offer at dinner, but for a much reduced price. And in hopes that more people will eat lunch out, because lunch is not a big go-out-and-eat kind of meal, not as much as dinner is in the United
Especially
States.
Especially for fine dining.
Exactly.
And so you can save a lot of money. It says here you can get this meal maybe for a fraction of the cost that you would pay at dinner time. And so that's something to think about on your next trip when it comes to eating. But what about meal plans, especially when you are at an all-inclusive resort? Or not necessarily all-inclusive, but maybe at a resort where you have to pay extra. What should you do when it comes to meal plans? Let's find out about that next.
What about meal plans? Family man Robert Damali says to opt out of resort meal plans. On a Caribbean vacation, he and his family ate breakfast in their room and most other meals in town and around the island. As a result, we saved hundreds of dollars for a family of four, he says, and we sampled a wide variety of foods and met a lot of interesting people.
Okay, so you're going to a resort and maybe you have the option to tack on some meal plans there. If you're in an all-inclusive resort, I assume that you've already paid for everything ahead of time, so you might as well eat there. But maybe you're going to one where you pay extra for certain meals. Well, here we learn that a family man, Robert Damali, says to opt out of resort meal plans. What does it mean to opt out of something, Charlotte?
Well, opt is a shortened version of the word option, and it means to choose something. So you can opt in to something, and you can also opt out of something, and that's where you can say no or choose not to do it.
Okay, so he is described as a family man, meaning he loves to spend time with his family, and he says, don't sign up for these resort meal plans. And what did he actually do on a Caribbean vacation, Josh?
So on his Caribbean vacation, he and his family ate breakfast in their room and most other meals in town around the island. So instead of purchasing that meal plan at the resort that they were staying at breakfast and lunch and dinner, he decided to have something with him that they could eat quickly and easily in their room and then go out and explore the rest of the country for their other dining needs.
So food wasn't their focus necessarily on this trip. They wanted to save money in that area. Maybe if you love eating, you know, food and on your trip, then you want to spend money on that. That's fine. But they didn't care to do that, and so they saved a lot of money.
Right, and it really does depend on whether or not the resort is in a location where you are able to explore the area, because some resorts are actually very far away from the rest of town, and you don't really have that option. But here it seems like his family really enjoyed meeting new people and going into town and exploring and just learning more about the island.
Yeah.
And I would say also that if you have a child that's sort of picky and doesn't really like to eat a whole lot of things besides maybe fruit or some toast anyway, then there's no point in getting an expensive meal plan for them, because then they're just going to get a slice of bread and some fruit, and it's a kind of a waste of money.
That is a really good point, Josh. You don't want to waste money on that. Well, how much money did they actually save here, Charlotte?
It says they saved hundreds of dollars, and because they have a family of four, I'm guessing two parents and two kids, per person, you can save quite a lot of money by using this option.
Now, when I see that, that's an incentive to go out and buy food elsewhere because you're saving a lot of money. If you're just saving a little, it may be worth it just to eat at the resort. But in this case, it looks like they chose wisely. And they were actually able to sample lots of other kinds of food.
Yeah, so it wasn't just about saving money. They also really got their money's worth out of the experience, right? Because they were also to sample a wide variety of foods that they wouldn't normally be able to get probably in their home country, as well as meet a lot of interesting people.
So they had a different mindset maybe than some, and it was rewarding. It's not like they suffered from this, really. They were able to enjoy being around other people and save some money and enjoy some foods that they would not have been able to try at the resort.
It sounds like they're a pretty adventurous family. When I'm traveling, I do love to try maybe some street food or look at what the locals are eating, but that's not for everyone. Some people might be a little bit nervous to try foods from places outside of their hotel.
And not always is the meal plan a bad deal. Sometimes it could actually be worthwhile, especially just for a couple of people. But I think what Charlotte's saying is very true, that a lot of times those places kind of offer food that people are familiar with, not necessarily just local specialties.
Right. And you do have to be careful trying street food. As we learn in our Hanoi, Vietnam article this month, it's all about street food, and we discuss how, you know, that can be dangerous sometimes, and you're not sure what you're going to eat, and so maybe eating at a resort is a better option. It really depends on where you are and, you know, what you know about the food that you're eating. And so that's important to take into consideration. Well, we are at the end of our travel article this month. We are all out of time. We hope that you will check out our Topic Talks videos. Just scan the QR code there at the beginning of this article or go into our website, studioclassroom.com, to view the videos there and leave us your comments there as well about this article or any topic this month. Well, thank you, panelists, for joining us.
Thank you, Brandon.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. Until next time, this is Brandon,
Charlotte,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.